I really originally did it because I was having trouble dealing with pain issues and being an athlete and being frustrated, and I really wanted to stay married. And so I thought that maybe an outlet for not complaining so much at home was to start a blog. And I did. After I started the blog and it took off for a couple of years, I was featured in Runner's World. And that really gave me the idea that there was a bigger audience than just a blog audience. And that is how the book started.
You talked about being an athlete. How much of an athlete were you?
I played soccer my whole life. I played soccer and softball in college. And then after college, I kept playing soccer in Atlanta on a women's league. And then I became a pretty big runner and started playing tennis again and different things. I just, any activity, hiking, whatever.
And given your bouts with pain, you still do a lot of that, though.
Yes, I do. I have to alter everything. So when I go camping, for instance, I have to take different props so that I can sleep at night. And that's a bit of a gamble because I have to make sure that I don't carry too much on my back in weight. But I also need all the things to situate myself for a nighttime. I don't race anymore in running. I just run by myself so that I'm not stuck on someone else's timeline in case I don't feel well one morning. But yes, I do keep doing pretty much whatever I can.
Well, let's talk about where this started. What was your injury like? What happened there?
Originally, I was hurt working as an emergency medical technician in the back of an ambulance, and I was standing over a patient, which you are not supposed to do, and I take responsibility for that. And I was thrown a bit in the back of the ambulance, and I was holding on to the stretcher and in a very awkward position. And at the time, being in my 20s and being very healthy and athletic, I thought it was something like a whiplash injury that would just go away. I planned to play soccer the next day. I had no idea that it would start a cascade of things and that a decade later I would be here like this.
And most of the doctors, if not all of the doctors you went to, just started writing prescriptions.
Oh, yeah. That was the very first thing. You know, it was like, take this pill, take that pill, and you'll be good to go. And it was kind of like a turn me loose sort of thing with a million pills. And they didn't work.
Can you see how somebody in your situation might just take that route and that's it? It's pills for life?
Absolutely. I have fought this for about a decade now. And especially when you are in severe pain, it's very hard to say no to those pills because even if they don't really work, you can take enough to knock yourself out, and at least you're not suffering if you're knocked out. I think that one thing that we really are not talking about in our national conversation about pill addiction is why a lot of people get addicted. And for me, at least, that answer is uncontrolled pain and different things that are not funded by most insurances, like acupuncture and massage, that actually help people. I'm a big believer in chiropractic, you know, so I guess what we consider alternative medicine often is out of pocket, but the pills are not out of pocket. And so what happens is people get to where they feel like they have no option but pills, whether it's financially or otherwise. And I think that we need to do a better job of talking about what leads people to that addiction, not just what to do about it once they have it.
Yes, you've expressed a lot of frustration with your care being managed by pencil pushers in an office someplace instead of doctors.
Absolutely. And these days, our insurance policy changes every year. And every year, it's, you know, a 2-day commitment to read the fine print and see what's covered and what's not. And more often than not, anything I need or want is not covered, or it is so minimally covered that it's essentially not covered.
How did you get beyond that? How did you get beyond the pills and try to just almost craft your own recovery?
Well, right now, I recently qualified for medical marijuana, and that has helped tremendously. I have not, if there's some wood, I'm going to knock on it. I have not had to take even an ibuprofen since using medical marijuana at night. But before that, I think it was pure bullheadedness that I knew when I was on different medications, I didn't feel well, and I really often didn't feel better, or they would work temporarily. And just being young and otherwise healthy and refusing to give into the temptation, I guess. But yeah, there have been years of misery. I mean, it hasn't been a simple, oh, well, I'm not going to take that and I'll be fine. It's been hot tubs, massages, chiropractic pretty constantly.
One of the things you you hit on in the book, and it's something that I've talked about with a lot of people in the field, is the threat of injury for people in the medical field. It's a lot bigger than you'd think, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I've worked in multiple jobs in the medical industry, and I've also taught in a health sciences program locally at the college. And I really like to stress to my students good body mechanics and being careful and taking care of themselves, because there are so many unpredictable factors when you're working with ill people, and so many places often don't have enough staff, or there are situations you can't help it and you have to pick someone up really quickly. And it's a shame. I'm not sure how to fix that, but there is definitely a high risk of injury, I think, with any hands-on patient care, especially at the lower levels where people are often not paid well and working very long shifts. They have to do a lot of very hard work, whether that be lifting, twisting, whatever, and there's a lot of injury risk in those occupations.
If nothing else, just having a 5'2" nurse try to lift a morbidly obese patient has got to be tough.
Exactly. And it's, you know, and then you throw in someone maybe combative, they may be unconscious. There are so many factors that make even something straightforward. Let's say your patient is very small and you kind of feel like you struck gold that day because they're child-sized, and then you realize, but they're totally unconscious and that's essentially dead weight, which is a lot more. And then, you know, there's just a lot of factors. And oftentimes when you are working on a patient in some of these occupations, you're in a small space and you don't have a lot of time or a lot of room to make the best decision for your own health.
What's the thing that you have found over the years that people understand the least about living with chronic pain?
I don't think anyone gets it until they feel it. And I don't think that's someone's fault for being that way. I think that's human nature, that we don't truly understand another person's issue, whatever that issue is, unless it hits us. I think that the best explanation I can give people when they want to understand it a little bit more is to think back to a time when you were either sick or injured and it ruined your week or your month, and you couldn't, maybe you were on crutches for 3 weeks or something, whatever it was, that it really cramped your style and ruined your life, albeit temporarily. But that's every day. Every day is that adaptation if you have chronic pain. Every day is that waking up with a sense of, what is today going to be like? How hard is today going to be? And I think that's really hard to convey to someone if they haven't gone through it.
As someone who is a teacher in the field, is that something you try to get across, maybe to be a little more empathetic when someone says they hurt?
Yes, definitely. I haven't taught for about a year now, but I did teach, I believe it was 4 years. And I still do some direct patient care too. And I really do try to check myself as well and make sure that I'm being appropriately respectful and empathetic to patients, and definitely to any students or interns or anything that I've run across. I do try to tell them suffering is real, and even though you cannot relate to it, does not mean you can't respect it.
Not naming names, and if this is uncomfortable, fine, don't answer, but in your journey through this, was there one, and you tried a lot, was there one therapy where you went, well, that was a total waste of time?
Just one. probably conventional pill usage in general. I tried some things that people might consider really off the beaten path. Like, one was called iridology, where they look in your eyes. I was extremely skeptical of that, and it was actually pretty cool. But I think as far as something being totally bogus, I would say a lot of the prescriptions I was giving would fit that bill.
Hmm. What's one message you hope people come away from this book?
I hope that people remember that they still have power over their lives no matter how bad they feel. I think that patients who are suffering tend to lose their dignity and their feelings of independence, and you can get trapped going from appointment to appointment and feel like your whole life is wrapped up in this stuff. And I really think that we are truly our own best advocates. And I just hope people hear from my story after reading the book that no matter what someone tells you, it is still your life, and your day is your day, and your decision is your decision. And yeah, it may be limited by the parameters of your illness or injury, but it is still your life and not someone else's to lead.
Has this taught you anything about your relationships?
I think so, yes. I've had some really wonderful people I've come across who share their story with me or tell me they know someone who's gone through different things. And it's a different kind of bond with someone. When I meet someone else who has gone through a lot of medical issues, I think we have a different type of friendship than I would have had I stayed healthy. There's that base level understanding there. And also for people who are healthy, I think for me, I went through a period of some jealousy over that, especially if they were doing things like eating fast food and I was eating impeccable health food and spending 10 times as much on it. And I think I went through that period of jealousy and realized that was really toxic for myself and for friendships, and just kind of got over it and said, that's their life, this is mine. And overall, I think this whole thing has made me more accepting of other people in general.
And you still got a wife.
I do. Yes, we just had our 11-year anniversary, and we are, yeah, happy, I think.
What didn't I ask you that people should know? That's my go-to final question.
I don't like saying never give up. I think that's truly, that is a personal choice, and giving up has a lot of definitions, but I would like to tell people to don't think that even if you have some dire news, that there aren't other options out there. I know every road has an end, but I also believe that with enough investigation, there is often at least a partial solution to almost any problem.